Please remain standing in reference of the reading of the scripture. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, so the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who are the first to be put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. You will also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. So if you've ever been to a conference, or you've ever been to a meeting, or some kind of event, you maybe have come up to a table, and all the table are a bunch of name tags, right? Remember these kind of name tags? You know, hello, my name is, right? And so when you come, what do they want you to do? They want you to write your name on the name tag and place it on you. Now, that's what we normally do, correct? What if, though, you came to the table and they had those name tags there and they said, okay, what I want you to do, we don't want you to write your name on the name tag. Instead, what we want you to do is to use another word or words that would help people know who you are, to help identify you. So think about it. So if that's what you can't write your name, but you write a word or words that would help other people know who you are or to identify you, what would you put on your name tag then? A lot of us would probably put maybe our vocation. I am banker. I am student. I am retired. I am pastor, whatever. Some of us might put, you know, a relationship on the name. We write, you know, I am mom, or I am dad, or I am grandfather, whatever. I'm son, daughter. We might put something that we're passionate about on that name tag. You might write, you know, hello, my name is, and you'd put, I'm a runner, or I'm a photographer, or I'm a golfer, or something like that. Whatever we put on the name tag, though, identifies us, describes who we are, and it has power. You know, there, you know, it's part of the core to our identity. Our identity. We've been in this series we're wrapping up today called Sort of Christian, and been looking at a lot of different things, and we've defined, or at least I've defined, sort of Christian as having enough of Jesus to make you feel better, but not so much of Jesus to really make a big difference. Because we're sort of Christian. It's convenient, it's comfortable, and it's maybe wanting the benefits of Jesus or desiring that without fully surrendering. And we looked at, you know, we can compromise our devotion. We can use God as a tool in our toolbox when we need something fixed in our lives, or we can be more of a fan rather than a follower. We look at all those different things. And yet Jesus isn't calling us to be any of those things, calling us to be Christian, who we were created to be in the first place, calling us to claim our identity. Now, as followers of Christ, If we were going to write on the name tag, hello, my name is, we would identify with, hello, I am what? We would write, I'm Christian. Because our identity comes from Christ or God. Easy answer. Not easy always to do, right? But a lot of times, if we're honest, our identity comes from a lot of other things than just that. Yeah? Like I said, it might be a vocation, it might be a passion, it might be a relationship, it might be a behavior. Sometimes our identity gets shaped by other people around us. It's sort of forced upon us. It's formed by maybe what other people tell us. And if it's repeated enough, you know, we can begin to live into that, whether it's true or not. I can remember a former church had a very successful businessman in the church. Had a good successful business, good family. When you looked at it, this person would be, you know, described as a very successful person. And yet, he thought the opposite of that. And I thought maybe it was because of some moral failure or something like that, that he thought he was a failure. But the truth was that growing up all through his life, his dad had always basically told him, you're a disappointment, or it's not good enough, or whatever, something like that. That he was never going to be successful. And so that's what he heard so much, that he believed that even though he was so successful, he believed that he was a failure. Most people would say, I'm a success, except my dad, he said. And he's not the only one. There are PhDs, okay, who don't feel very intelligent. You know, a fitness competitor who feels like they are fat, maybe. MVP who's always striving for more. A model, and when he or she looks into the mirror, they hate what they look like. Because maybe somewhere along the way, someone said, you are, and they filled in the blank, whether it was true or not. In this passage from Ephesians, though, Paul reminds us and points us to our true identity. He says to God's holy people in Ephesus in verse 1, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. So it's just interesting. So what is he calling these people in Ephesus? He's telling them, here's who you are. You are what? You are holy people. Now, I have a feeling that those in Ephesus probably didn't feel that holy all the time. Because Ephesus, if you know anything about Ephesus, if you read the history of it, Ephesus was a very pagan and hedonistic town, city. All right? So these believers, these Christians that Paul is writing to, before they became followers, they lived a very pagan, hedonistic lifestyle. You know, drugs, sex, rock and roll, all that good stuff. And so now Paul, though, is calling them holy. And so it may have felt like a case of mistaken identity for them. You mean we're holy? What do you mean we're holy? That doesn't feel like who we are. Okay, you must be mistaken. We're not holy. I can remember being over at a friend's house and as a teenager, and in his basement he had a pool table, and we were down there playing pool. And while we were playing pool, he said, hey, I gotta go to the bathroom, but if you go get some sodas from the refrigerator upstairs. There's some Dr. Peppers in there. And I said, okay, great, I'll go up and get some. So I go upstairs and I open the refrigerator, and yeah, there's a Dr. Peppers. Like, yeah, no cheer wine, but Dr. Peppers, so we're good. And I got a couple Dr. Peppers out, and I was about the time I shut the door, I hear this voice behind me. What are you doing? And I mean, my heart just sort of skipped a beat at that moment. I mean, I knew I was like, I must be in trouble in some way. And so I turned around, and there was my friend's mom. And I could tell that she was startled at the same time, though. And she said, I'm sorry. I thought you were my son. Sometimes, you know, we can be mistaken, right? We have that mistaken, it's a case of mistaken identity. And I think in the church of Ephesus, they may have felt that when Paul said, you are a holy people. And he says, not only aren't they holy, but he says that they are holy and in Christ. Now, that's a theologically significant. Throughout this passage, you find this word, in him or in Christ. And every time Paul mentions it, he's pointing us again back to our true identity. Paul says, you are chosen. In verse 4, he says, you are chosen. For he chose us in him, in Christ, before the creation of the world. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. Do you remember, maybe this was your experience, it was definitely mine, in school, and you'd go out for recess, and you could do whatever, and a lot of times we played kickball, and what you would do, everybody who wanted to play kickball, you got in a crowd, and there were two captains, and the captains would pick teams. Do you remember that? Do you remember how anxious feeling that was? You know, because what were you doing? You were waiting for your name to be called. And then until it was called, there was this heaviness about it. You were just, am I going to be called? You know, when is my name going to be called? When am I going to be picked? And so you were waiting to be wanted, waiting to be chosen. And until that moment, your name is mentioned. There was this anxiety, this anxiousness, this heaviness about it. And then as soon as that name, I heard my name, it just sort of went away. Oh, yes. Paul says, you have been named, though. You have been chosen. See, culturally, we think our identity, you know, our identity is something that we choose. I choose to be this or that, or somebody chooses it for us. And Paul says, no. You are chosen. There's a difference between the two. Scripture tells you are chosen. God says, I choose you. You are holy. And not only says you're holy in verse 4, it says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Again, this is part of our identity. It may not be what we feel right now. It may not feel blameless. When you look in the mirror, that may be what you feel. Some of us, some folks are living under a weight of blame. Right? Maybe it was put on to you by someone else. You being blamed for something, and maybe that's not true at all. Maybe something happened and it was your fault, but you're still living under that weight of blame. And a lot of times that manifests itself in shame or in anger or withdrawal. You don't want to be around people who know this about you. You don't want to hang around them because they blame. See, blame attaches to our identity, something that we did. And yet, Scripture tells us our identity is not based on something that we did. It's based on something that was done for us. Paul says you are blameless, not because you are really blameless, all right, but because Jesus was blameless. And because you are in him, all right, you are blameless in his sight. Paul goes on in verse 5. He says, in love, he, meaning Jesus, predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. In love, he predestined us for adoption. So we're adopted, we're chosen, we're adopted, we're blameless to sonship in Jesus Christ. There's a video that floated around the internet, and it's still there. You can find it. I think it does a better job of just pointing us to what adoption is and feels like than I could ever explain it. Take a look.
Careful, open it up. There we go. I want you to read it.
I'm going to be adopted?
We love you so much. We'll always be your parents.
I love you so much. I love you.
I will always be your parents. Careful if they're not.
There are some, and maybe you, who have waited all their lives, to be loved like that, to be chosen like that, to be seen and to be cared for. But in Christ, that's true of all of us. All of us. We're adopted. And that changes everything. It changes this identity question from who am I to whose I am. And that matters. There's a difference. In verse 7, Paul goes on. He says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. What does God do? God takes the broken and he puts us back together. Those of us who are thrown away said that we are and redeems us. Take something maybe tragic, something evil, something bad that's happened and squeezes good out of that. Does not assign blame, but releases us from that and forgives us. See, this was a challenge for some of those in Ephesus because they had to decide who they were going to be, right? What was going to determine their identity? Because they had competing identities. Other voices, all of us, have other voices in our lives that are competing or telling you are this or you are that, and we have to decide who we are, whose we are. Is someone else going to determine that for us? Is it a career going to determine that for us? Is it a vocation? Is it something that's happened in our lives that's going to determine that? Is it going to be a behavior or an accomplishment, a failure, a fault? What will determine our identity? Will it be God? At the very beginning, Paul says, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. And Paul's making, there are two identities. Paul's saying, you have two identities. You are in Christ, but also in Ephesus. And they are not the same. One is of God and one is of culture. And those two things didn't go well together. They don't line up. Their identity was based on, in Ephesus, was different if their identity was based on being in Christ. They had to decide. I mean, for us, think about it. All of us, we all came from somewhere. Well, we grew up in a home, grew up in a community, grew up in a town, city, what? They helped shape us who we are. Most of you, I grew up in Climax, North Carolina. Now, when I lived in Savannah, Georgia, and then later on at school in Atlanta at Emory, people always ask you, where are you from? And I would just simply say, from a small community in North Carolina. It was easier that way, let me just say. I didn't have to explain it. I didn't have to hear the jokes about it. And so I would just say, I'm from there. But I mean, imagine being from other places. Like, imagine being from Lizard Lick, North Carolina. Or maybe you're from Cat Square. Or, not feel for these folks, being from Hornytown, because that was always part of the joke, of course. Bad High Point climate. Yeah, okay, I got it. Or you could be from Why Not, or just spelled Why Not. So you should read the story about why that town's called that. We should be this. Well, why not? We'll be that. Well, why not? Well, we'll just be why not. There is Toast, North Carolina, which is up the road from Meat Camp, North Carolina. So, I mean, I'm not sure you won't always want to be identified from where you are from. And Paul's saying to these Ephesians, you need to choose. What's going to identify you? Are you in Christ or are you in Ephesus? Because again, as I mentioned, Ephesus was a very pagan, hedonistic kind of city. It was along the coastline of the Aegean Sea, which is modern-day Turkey. You find the red star on there. That's Ephesus, but to kind of give you an idea where modern-day Turkey, their identity was wrapped up in their economy. It was a trade place. They had a great library there, so their identity was also part of that identity was education and knowledge. The Temple of Artemis was there. It was considered one of the seven wonders of the world. And so part of their identity was tied to that. They had a 25,000 seat amphitheater. And so recreation, entertainment was a part of who they are. They had this huge shopping center. So consumerism was, again, part of who they were. It's part of their identity. And so Paul, for them, is asking, what's going to be true of you? Right? In other words, which is going to be truer for you, or which is most true? Which is most true? What is going to be truer in Christ or in Ephesus? In Christ or in Ephesus? Which is going to be truer of you? Same question for us. There are things that are about us that are true. What's going to be more truer of us? For me, I'll give you a good example. I like to sleep in. Morning, that's true of me. All right, Saturday morning or day, I would rather sleep in a little bit. But then there's the other part of me that will get up early in the morning. Like if we're traveling somewhere and it's going to be hours on the road, I want to get on the road, right? I want to get down. You know, I'm like, let's hit the road by 5 a.m. And my people are like, not happening. You know, I said, yo, just roll out of bed. You don't have to change. Just get in the car so we can go. Yeah, 2 days out of the week, I get here to my office at 5:30 a.m. But which is more true? Which is truer of me? Do I like to sleep in, or do I like to get up early? Which is truer of me? Right? I mean, we got a lot of identities that are true. We just have to decide which is going to be truer. When I was in the youth group growing up, we played a game called Please Stand Up. I don't know if you ever played it. It was sort of a crowd breaker kind of game. And so what it would be is they would say, if you are this, or if you've done this, or if you whatever, if you have brown hair, whatever, blue eyes, if you got, you please stand up. And so if that was you, you'd stand up. That's how people got to know one another a little bit. Now, we're not going to play that game this morning. Take a deep breath. All right. But it would go like, hey, if you are a UNC fan, would you please stand up? And I know some of you just want to play so badly, right? And you, oh, yes, yell at me. No. All right. But you would stand up. Or you might say, if you have an Audi belly button, stand up. And all those who are standing up would already just be standing up probably. You know, but so you would identify yourself by standing up. All right, so I lied a little bit. I want us to identify ourselves. All right. So I want to read some things that are true of you. Okay? These are the truest things about you. And they might feel a little bit uncomfortable. Because you hear these things and you know, there's that other voice that says, you know what? No, that's not it. That's not who you are. Let me tell you. Yes, it is. This is true of you, whether you feel it, whether you recognize it or not. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read these things that are true of you. And if they are, stand up. But again, I'll give you a hint. Okay? All of these are. Right? Whether you recognize them or not, all of these are. So if this is true of you, then yeah, stand up, all right? So scriptures tell us, I am loved with an everlasting love, Jeremiah 31. If that's true of you, stand up. I am a new creation and I am not who I used to be, if that's true of you, stand up. I am set free, John 8. I am the light of the world, Matthew 5. I am the righteous of God. I am the righteousness of God. I am God's workmanship. I am beloved of God, Ephesians 2. I am born of God, and the evil cannot touch me, 1 John 5. These are all true of us, whether we recognize them or not. Did you know that? These last ones, I want you to read them aloud. Read them aloud when you see them on the screen. Because this is true of you, because you are in Christ. So it says, I am. Get there. Oh, there we go. I am. 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 That is who you are. Regardless of what everybody else tells you, or even you tell yourself, this is who you are. You're not called to be a sort of Christian. You're not called to be a fan. You're not called to compromise. But you are, this is who you are. My hope and prayer is that you claim this identity and live into that, because this is who you are. Let us pray. Lord, I give you thanks for your sons and your daughters. And I pray, Lord, that every one of us would hear you speak these words over us, oh Lord, that we would not just hear them, that they take root and residence in us, that we would truly claim our identity, oh Lord. This would be paramount in our lives and not the other voices. So I pray the Holy Spirit be upon us. Shut those voices up, O Lord, that we would hear who we are in you. For it's in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.